But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with Biden stepping down as the Democratic nominee, move on to the rise of Kamala Harris, and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, Yes, J.D. Vance Fucked a Couch, and other disturbing stories from the right. Let's begin, shall we? What a year this week has been! And with so much happening, I'm not sure where to start. Perhaps...
We must begin at the beginning, and the beginning began.
Well, the beginning is as good a place as any to start. And in case you can't remember that far back, this week, in unprecedented events, began a little something like this.
Breaking news and a critical moment in the presidential race. NBC News has learned President Biden will step aside as the presumptive Democratic nominee. He will suspend his bid for a second term, and instead he will pave the way for a different Democratic candidate to face former President Trump this November.
Just moments ago, the president tweeted out, "It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president. While it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term."
It is almost without precedent in the American experiment for a president to make a decision like this. I think it tells us an enormous amount about the character of the incumbent and realize the magnitude of the decision that President Biden made for the good of his country. And he has put the life of the nation above his own political individual ambition.
In a world where the Flat Earth Society has members all across the globe, according to their own website, an old man coming to terms with the reality of aging is a heroic act, and good for the rest of us, because I don't know about you, but I was ready to totally vote for the corpse in November just to make sure I did my part to prevent Project 2025 from turning America back to 1960. Now, thankfully, we don't have to, because Joe endorsed his Veep to run in his stead, which is absolutely fabulous because Kamala Harris is the Rhaenyra we always knew we always wanted. Why else would something historical like this happen immediately after Joe passed the baton?
It's been a whirlwind 24 hours for Vice President Kamala Harris.
The now presumptive Democratic nominee, Vice President Kamala Harris, raising more than $80 million in just the past 24 hours since Biden left the race.
Support and money is already pouring in to bolster her presidential campaign.
Harris is already a money machine, setting a record for the most raised by a presidential candidate in 24 hours.
A woman who helped to raise $1.5 million for Harris in just 100 minutes.
Win with Black Women organized a Zoom call late Sunday to garner support for the vice president. The group says 44,000 women on the call raised $1.5 million in 100 minutes. Today, Future Forward, one of the largest Democratic super PACs, confirms it has received more than $150 million in donations in the last 24 hours.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Within 24 hours, an estimated $232.5 million was raised for Kamala Harris's presidential campaign after Viserys stepped down. Now, those are historical numbers because no candidate before Kamala raised more money in 24 hours, period. But to be fair, the Big Lebowski did raise $53 million on the day that he was convicted of 34 felonies, so there's that. But it's not just money Americans are willing to give to Kamala. 40,000 people signed up to help Kamala's campaign as volunteers in those same 24 hours. So naturally, the grumpy old man running against her decided to do what he does best: complain to the manager.
Donald Trump and his advisors think the Democrats are pulling off a heist with Joe Biden's campaign cash. The campaign has now filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission saying that the funds that were meant for Biden's reelection can't be used for Vice President Harris's campaign.
This is not a lawsuit. This is a complaint with the Federal Election Commission. What Trump's people are trying to do is set the table to say we're not getting a satisfactory answer from the FEC. Therefore, they're going to go. I think their next step at some point is going to be to go into a federal court and ask for an injunction. The argument, I think the core argument they're making is donors donated to Joe Biden. Now it's Kamala Harris.
This is sort of a nuisance, like a harassment suit.
The Trump campaign and the Heritage Foundation have signaled that they intend to challenge the ability to even put Kamala Harris's
Look,
name on the ballot.
This is the string of frivolous lawsuits as a strategy being used later on to question the validity of an election is something we ought to be on the lookout for.
You know, that Abby Phillip at CNN might be onto something with that whole filing lawsuits to try and stop Kamala Harris from becoming president. One rather dim idea of the Reich side is to complain about her name being too late to add to ballots, but that doesn't make any sense when the Dems don't officially have to make any candidate their nominee until the DNC convention in August. In other words, Kamala's name can easily be added to the top of the ticket, considering her name was already at the bottom of the ticket, you know, being Biden's veep. But apparently, the shortest Johnson to ever be Speaker of the House didn't get the memo.
The House Speaker, Mike Johnson, has been talking to reporters up on Capitol Hill. He said that President Biden should step down. And he suggested that state officials around the country on the Republican side are going to be challenging putting Kamala Harris on the top of the ticket.
And I think that's a real problem, and I think there'll be a lot said about that in the days ahead.
So you expect lawsuits, plenty of numerous lawsuits?
Well, look, if it violates the rules in some of these states, I expect that there will be litigation over that. So we'll see how it develops. We're doing our job here in Washington. The states will be handling that. But I do think it's problematic. I think millions of the American people believe that this is problematic. This is not the way the system is supposed to work. There's a reason it's unprecedented. You don't just, you know, steamroll the rules in the process because you decide that your candidate is no longer suitable. That's what's happened here. I think everybody can see it for themselves, and we'll see how the campaign unfurls.
Okay, now, I'll be honest. This shit stain of an idea is actually quite funny for all the male chauvinist reasons that you might think. What little Mikey is referring to in part is their ambulance chaser-inspired argument that Kamala Harris cannot be president because the Constitution doesn't refer to a woman when it mentions a president. No joke. They're planning on arguing all the way to the bogus SCOTUS that since the Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, says of the president, quote, he shall hold office, and since the Constitution refers to the president using only male pronouns, that must mean a woman cannot be president. And don't think for a moment I'm not laughing at these bigotards who complain about using pronouns when it comes to the libidinous community, but not when it serves the patriarchy. But that's not all when it comes to Republicans using the law against voters. A group of Republican voters who originally supported Nikki Haley against Eric's dad in the primary are now pledging their support for Kamala Harris for president. This has pissed off Nikki, do not call me Namatra Haley, who sent a cease and desist letter to the PAC for using her name in their title, which is Nikki Haley Voters for Harris. Quite Sigma, if you ask me. Oh, and for those of you in the back, Monday, July 22nd was the 1-year anniversary of the release of the Barbie movie. And please take a moment after this show to look up who played President Barbie. Spoiler alert, it was the very talented and very black actress Issa Rae. And by the way, not at all lost on me in real life, when Americans are threatened with Christian nationalism, the level of fuck you is so high, we're finally ready to put a woman in the executive branch. And not for nothing, but at least her tan isn't spray on. Which is probably why the annoying Orange's friends over at Fox Not a News Channel and other Republicans started sharing their deep thoughts about what's really going on with their poorly educated audience. Roll tape.
There's no photo of the moment.
He may have not even written the letter.
Did Kamala and other Democrats make a deal with Joe?
Did Joe step down in exchange for Hunter getting no prison?
They all assisted, interestingly, in this whole, quote, coup.
The entire Biden presidency was a cover-up.
I think Michelle Obama is not off the table.
This one from Trump on Truth Social really struck me. He says, to turn, quote, dumb as a rock Kamala Harris from a totally failed and insignificant vice president into a future great president, no, it just doesn't work that way.
Biden said, first off, he said he's going to hire a black female for vice president, and that not he just skipped over. What about white females? 100%, she was a DEI hire. Her record is abysmal at best.
Yeah, so tell me the right wing has only misogyny and racism against Kamala Harris without telling me that the right wing only has racism and misogyny against Kamala Harris. If this is how it's going to be, I got to tell you, this is going to make the next 4 months funny as fuck. And I want to personally thank these sheetless fascists in advance for all of the hilarious content for my show that they are about to create. For starters, the Dems switching candidates from Cruster Joe to the presumptive nominee Kamala Harris really pissed off the broke-ass billionaire in a very penny-pinching kind of way.
Former President Donald Trump venting clear frustration after President Biden dropped out. Trump with multiple posts on social media, quote, now we have to start all over again.
Donald Trump remaining out of sight, venting on social media, still attacking Joe Biden, though Biden is no longer his opponent. The former president posting, we are forced to spend time and money on fighting crooked Joe Biden. He polls badly after having a terrible debate and quits the race. Now we have to start all over again.
She's not a competent person. She shouldn't be president.
Our
being left at all over the world.
The Trump campaign tonight shifting gears for a likely showdown with Vice President Harris.
The Republican Party spent tens of millions of dollars running against Joe Biden.
Mr. Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance, mocking Harris at a rally in his Ohio hometown.
I guess she's going to run for president now. I was told I was going to get to debate Kamala Harris, and now President Trump's going to get to debate her.
Aw, is little Donnie ain't got two pennies crying over wasted money on attack ads for Biden? We are talking about $284 million the Dingus Khan's campaign is looking to recoup from the RNC, because who else is going to pay them back for all this useless propaganda? Oh, and let's not forget about the millions maggots spent on all that Let's Go Brandon merch, which is now worthless because Dark Brandon has left the race. Couldn't have happened to a more deserving basket of deplorables, if you ask me. Meanwhile, over on the Reich Wing outlets, it is panic at the Klan rally for man babies and the women who love them.
Here's just one reason that voters seem to detest Kamala Harris. Yes, you're giggling, Vice President. She wants to ban plastic straws.
She does not speak well. She does not work hard.
All right, so Kellyanne, let me ask you.
And she should not be the standard bearer for the party.
Now they just woke up one morning and said, never mind, we're getting rid of our candidate.
But I think a man could not smile like that. Can you imagine?
People are going to say that you're slut-shaming and all that stuff. I don't care. She slept her way to the top. That's what happened.
Kamala Harris, she's the original Hawk Tour girl. That's the way she got where she is.
And I'm resentful because she hasn't done a damn thing for this stuff, okay? She was handed it like she's been handed so many opportunities in her life.
Whoa, there, angry white man. We get that any woman getting ahead instead of a white man is very upsetting to you. So it must really make your ass twitch to see a black woman getting a seat at the male table. Because if I'm not mistaken, we've had 46 men running this country so far, and look where we ended up. In the battle for our lives against the poorly educated forces of the evangelicals. Sounds to me like this country could use a woman's touch, especially from this particular woman. Roll tape.
And so over the next 106 days, we are going to take our case to the American people, and we are going to win. And it is my intention to go out and earn this nomination. You know, as many of you know, before I was elected as vice president, before I was elected as United States Senator, I was the elected attorney general, as I've mentioned, of California. And before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
Damn right she does. And this is exactly what Mayor McTreason is losing his old man mind over, and rightfully so. Kamala Harris was elected by the people of California to the DA's office and later voted for her twice as their state attorney general. She went on to be voted into the office for Senator of California, which ended when she became vice president for Biden's administration. And for that matter, Californians have been voting Kamala since 2003. And don't forget about the 81 million Americans who voted for her to be VP in 2020. So it's pretty obvious. If given the chance, Americans are going to choose the black woman over the white man this November. Which is why Tennessee's saddest man and House Rep, Andy Ogles, decided to try some old bullshit like this.
Less than a week after Vice President Kamala Harris launched a presidential campaign to face Donald Trump in November, there is a Tennessee representative who's filing articles to try to have Harris impeached.
Representative Andy Ogles filed articles of impeachment against President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris last year as well, and that effort failed. This time, Ogles says it's because of Harris's willful refusal to uphold immigration laws. He added a second article in the new filing claiming that Harris covered up President Biden's mental well-being, constituting what he says is a breach of public trust.
But here's the thing. We have a crisis at the southern border. We are being invaded. She was the border czar. I'm talking about Kamala Harris. And we have to hold her accountable and start defining her for her failures. And again, we've got to define her before the woke media can reinvent her, if you will. We've got to define her. We've got to be aggressive. We've got to define the message as we go forward. Because look, our sovereignty, the republic, is at stake. We've got to ensure that Donald Trump takes the White House.
Oh, no, Andy, you just pulled a Kevin McCarthy on national television. You just told on yourself that this impeachment is just a ploy to get voters away from Kamala Harris. Just like the Benghazi hearing was all about lowering Hillary Clinton's poll numbers back in 2016, you know. Now, it's too bad for the Republicans that this harebrained scheme has already been exposed for exactly what it is by Pennsylvania's Rep. Mary Scanlon during a recent congressional hearing.
The MAGA majority has called an emergency hearing to pass a do-nothing resolution to condemn the vice president for her alleged failings on a job that never existed. The resolution before us was filed and given emergency status only after President Biden announced that he was withdrawing from the presidential race, and Vice President Harris became the presumptive nominee. The emergency is that House Republicans have wasted a year and a half using congressional resources to attack and investigate President Biden and his family to help the former president's campaign for revenge. But now, Biden's not the candidate. They've been trying to take down President Biden for being old, and now their candidate is the old one. Vice President Harris has a history of prosecuting criminals. This resolution has no valid legislative purpose. It doesn't do anything at all about the border. It just uses the House of Representatives as a messaging apparatus for Donald Trump's presidential campaign, and it gives every member of the Republican conference an opportunity to bash the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, Vice President Kamala Harris. Americans are sick of this nonsense.
And I'm just going to speak for all of us when I say, yeah, the fuck we are. It's not our fault. Old man Donald spent $284 million in Let's Go Brandon bullshit. And it's not the American people's problem that congressional maggots have wasted hundreds of millions in taxpayer funds attacking Biden's family. That, my friends, is a reckoning that will happen at the ballot box this November. Because when your elected official spends a ludicrous amount of your money on revenge plots, it's time to find someone else. And Donnie's minions know it. Minions like Ohio Senator George Lang, who yelled this desperate call for Mill Team 6 and Gravy Seals at a recent Mambo Mussolini rally.
We are in a fight for our kids and our grandkids, a fight that we can never imagine. I believe wholeheartedly Donald Trump and Butler County's J.D. Vance are the last chance to save our country politically. I'm afraid if we lose this one, it's going to take a civil war to save the country, and it will be saved. It's the greatest experiment in the history of mankind. And if we come down to a civil war, I'm glad we got people like Schmitty and the Bikers for Trump on our side.
Damn, George, you can't just be calling out Schmitty and the Bikers like that. Even though I'd expect nothing less from the old, we're going to start a civil war if we don't get our way kind of people. Very fine people, of course. Because this seems to be their last resort. And look at it from the Reich side. They've got a 34 times convicted felon who is now the oldest man in history to run for president as their candidate. The same diaper Don who is terrified of electric boat batteries and sharks, who audibly shit himself during the last presidential debate, and apparently has a weird obsession with a fictional serial killer because he apparently doesn't know that a word can have two different meanings.
The late, great Hannibal Lecter is a wonderful man. He oftentimes would have a friend for dinner. Congratulations, the late, great Hannibal Lecter.
They're coming from prisons. They're coming from jails. They're coming from mental institutions and insane asylums. I, the press is always on me because I say this. The late, great Hannibal Lecter. He'd love to have you for dinner. That's insane asylums. They're emptying out their insane asylums.
I do not know why this has not dawned on me before, but I think cognitive decline Don does not know that the word asylum isn't just for Victorian era psychiatric hospitals. For quite some time, the former president has been confounding people with this consistent reference to Hannibal Lecter at rallies whenever he is rambling on about immigration. Hannibal Lecter was in an insane asylum in the movie Silence of the Lambs, but not the same asylum we're talking about when it comes to immigration. But please, tell me again how the Leaning Tower of Orange should be reelected to the White House when basic word definitions are a challenge for this 48-year-old Shady Pines escapee. Oh, and let's not forget Schindler's number two, otherwise known as the man with a thousand names, and the Reich's favorite don't care about women bear, J.D. Vance, or J.D. Wentworth, depending on whether or not you need a cash settlement, or it's just that your boss can't read a teleprompter when introducing you. Either way, here's a montage of some of this jumbo diarrhea's greatest hits.
We're effectively run in this country by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. It's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
The question really to me is about the baby. We want women to have opportunities. We want women to have choices, but above all, we want women and young boys in the womb to have the right to life.
When you go to the polls in this country as a parent, you should have more power
You should have more of an ability to speak your voice in our democratic republic than people who don't have kids. Let's give votes to all children in this country, but let's give control over those votes to the parents of those children.
And in an election where your opponent is a woman and women have seen their rights stripped away from them consistently for the last 24 months, my friends, that right there is how you tank a presidential campaign with the announcement of a VP pick. Because since the great grinder crash of 2024, otherwise known as the RNC, and the revelation that the most basic bitch Ken doll maggots could find in Ohio would be their VP, it's been one ginormous kitty litter box of shit. Not only does this son of a middle-class family turn venture capitalist with a different name for every retcon of his original story, not to mention he doesn't really have an ounce of hillbilly in him, or as Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear eloquently explained.
Listen, J.D. Vance is a phony. He's fake. I mean, he first says that Donald Trump is like Hitler, and now he's acting like he's Lincoln. I mean, the problem with J.D. Vance is he has no conviction, but I guess his running mate has 34.
And coming from a governor of Kentucky, that is what makes what he said epic. Because J.D., whatever his name is, doesn't have any convictions, and his life is made up. I'm talking about the profound revelations recorded in the first edition of Hillbilly Elegy. Because it's recently come to the internet's attention that Pervert Hoover's running mate is a couch fucker. And I mean that in the most literary sense possible. Claims were circulating that a passage in Vance's memoir Hillbilly Elegy contained an admission to a sexual encounter with a couch involving a latex glove and bored college betas. These rumors gained so much traction that the Associated Press published an adorable attempt at fact-checking Vance's sexual relationship with a sectional using a PDF version of the latest edition of JD's Hillbilly Elegy to determine if the couch sex claim was a lie. Unfortunately for the AP and journalism at large, it was the owners of the first edition of Hillbilly Elegy who took to social media to prove them all wrong, because on page 184 of the first edition of Hillbilly Elegy, J.D. Vance wrote the following.
This is from J.D. Vance's Hillbilly Elegy, Chapter 11, the pre-2016 version. My closest friends had already graduated or were about to, but many stayed in Columbus after graduation. Though I didn't know it, I was witnessing a phenomenon that social scientists call brain drain. Years later, I looked at my wedding party of six groomers and realized that every single one of them had, like me, fucked a couch. All of us had found ourselves beheld by the eroticism of two cushions, side by side, with that lush, inviting valley between. We all knew how to respect one, too, with a rubber glove and any lubricant you had on hand. All of us were lonely at some point, pushed away by the women in our lives. It was our outlet and an unspoken yet open secret between us. To want for a couch is to be, and to lay with one as one does, is a rite of passage into the chambers of men. Manhood.
Holy shit. He fucked a couch. Is that why he is so triggered by single women who own cats? Because have you seen what a cat can do to a couch? And for those of you in the back, no, this is not the Mandela effect. It's the magic of multiple editions of a book, which is standard practice in the publishing world. See, when a book has multiple editions since their first publication, like Hillbilly Elegy does, you may find passages removed or added to newer reprintings. And it just so happens that with Vance's memoir, he had this couch fucking admission removed from the 2018 reprint because duh, who admits to that bullshit in the first place? Let alone in writing. And the reason AP ended up retracting their adventure into fact-checking Vance's memoir is because apparently they conveniently forgot that Hillbilly Elegy had more than one edition. But that's not the only fuckery going on with the Dictator for a Day campaign. Do you remember about 2 weeks ago when Von Schitzenpants was shot at, and ever since, he's been going around telling everyone that he took a bullet for democracy. Yeah, well, on my previous show, I proposed that Tons of Oranges did not, in fact, take a bullet to the ear, but was hit by glass from a teleprompter. The only thing besides the maggots behind him that got shot with bullets. I played a clip of CBS News explaining that the doctor at Butler Memorial, where Mine Incompetent was taken after the shooting, did not administer stitches to the wound. And the hospital coordinated with the Lumbering Lardass's campaign before the shooting. And then there was the maxi pad he wore taped to his ear at the RNC 2 days after the shooting. And yet, the day immediately after the shooting, he was caught in pictures and video playing golf without a bandage on his totally not shot with a bullet ear. And now let's add the Trump-appointed director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, to the pile of facts that King Baby Coward was shot at, not shot. Here's the Maggot for Life Congressman Jim Jordan and FBI Director Wray's exchange about the assassination attempt that wasn't.
Where did all 8 bullets go, is I guess my question.
As I said, I think with respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that, you know, that hit his ear. So it's conceivable, although as I sit here right now, I don't know whether that bullet, in addition to, you know, causing the grazing, could have also landed somewhere else. But I believe we've accounted for all of the shots and the cartridges.
And I'm going to go ahead and call it right now. Cheeto Von Wannabe Dictator was not hit by a bullet during the rally at Butler Park, Pennsylvania. This was the assassination of a teleprompter and 2 attendees of the rally because the shooter was well known for being a terrible shot. And the felonious orange was nicked by a piece of glass, which is why he didn't need stitches at the hospital, why he wasn't wearing a bandage while golfing the next day, but sported a post-it note taped to his ear when he knew the cameras were watching. I said what I said. Argue with your mother. And lastly, the Reich's great hope for Project 2025 and the oldest man to run for the U.S. presidency, Donald Trump, decided to plead for voters in the most fascist way possible in Florida. Roll tape.
I don't care how, but you have to get out and vote. And again, Christians, get out and vote just this time. You won't have to do it anymore. 4 more years, you know what? It'll be fixed. It'll be fine. You won't have to vote anymore, my beautiful Christians. I love you, Christians. I'm a Christian. I love you. Get out. You got to get out and vote. In 4 years, you don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good you're not going to have to vote.
And just so that we're clear, going forward, it is not hyperbole or hysteria or even political posturing when I say that Project 2025 is the blueprint for the end of our country as we know it. And that crap about not needing to vote in 4 years after the quarter pounder is reelected is outlined in Project 2025. The same Christian nationalist roadmap that has a foreword written by the couch fucker himself, giant douchebag Vance. And please keep this in mind over the next couple of months when the political ping pong game gets going. Remind yourself that this isn't just about the first black woman for president or the first convicted felon running this country. This is about whether or not we even have a country after Republican Jesus finishes remodeling our democracy in theocratic tones of fascism. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. And don't forget, Sundays at Ohio time 6 p.m., you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. And we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, or Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening to this show. To Dear for now.